Welcome, everyone. Melinda Zarate with Emboldened Heart here. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I'm really excited to have all of you here and to welcome a new guest speaker for the very first time. We have with us today Catherine Ewing, and I've known Catherine for some time, and I've been following her work, and I was fortunate enough to have been interviewed by Catherine once previously, and so I was delighted to be able to reciprocate and have her come as a guest speaker on Emboldened Heart, and I'm just so happy you're here. Hi, Catherine. Welcome.
Yay. I'm happy I'm here, too.
Yeah.
It just sort of puts people together, you know, in the perfect time.
I know. Isn't it wonderful? I love that.
Yep.
Yeah, me too. Well, I want to just take a moment to share a little bit about Emboldened Heart with anyone new who's here listening for the very first time. Welcome. Emboldened Heart was formed about 4 years ago for the purpose of encouraging heart-based living and personal transformation. And that means a lot of different things, and it means that I get to have the great pleasure of bringing information, education, processes, training, and beautiful guest speakers to you who share with you their gifts and their talents. And it's all for the purpose of blessing you and improving your life in whatever way your heart desires. So welcome. Thank you for being here. And I also want to take just a few moments to let those of you who are loyal Emboldened Heart listeners here with us listening to Catherine for the first time, I'd like to share just a little bit about Catherine for you. She has she's been doing this beautiful work for over 25 years. At this point, she's worked with thousands of people, primarily women, and she now calls herself kind of a prison break expert. She's here to help us break out of our prison, our self-imposed prison, or our prison of childhood traumas and unhappinesses. And I just am so, so happy to have her here. She's formed a beautiful new company entity called Sacred Heart Alchemy, and I love that name. It's beautiful.
Mm.
It's really beautiful. So, Catherine, welcome, welcome. So happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, too, and I love, you know, again, the synchronicity that we both have the word heart in our mm-hmm. business names now because, of course, you know, I just rebranded recently mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. the Sacred Heart Alchemy, and even though a lot of the underlying work has not changed, there is a different energy to it now in alignment with the heart energy, and it feels wonderful.
I was really excited to see that when I learned that you had kind of rebranded and were calling yourself a prison break expert. I just thought, oh, that's good. That's really good.
I
love it.
It's funny because it actually sounds kind of funny, and the first time I said it, you know, it was kind of funny, but there's actually a very poignant other side to that coin. I don't know if now is the appropriate place to talk about it.
So
the name Sacred Heart Alchemy, actually, as I said, I went through a rebranding process last summer. And it was very deep. I did 2 10-hour shamanic journeys. It was really, really powerful to really connect with my heart and my soul. And just prior to that, about a month before that, I went through an experience that threw me into a really dark night of the soul. Actually, it was exactly this time last year. And I won't go into the whole story, but my daughter called me one night distraught. Her friend had committed suicide. I was actually at a group, a spiritual meeting with a group of people, women primarily, who I had been in circle with for 9 years. And I stepped out to take my daughter's call. And when I came back in, just some things transpired in the group. And the result was that I felt unsupported. I felt betrayed. I felt people did not have my back. And these were people who, you know, I've done some really significant work with, meeting every month over 9 years. And it sent me into a really dark night of the soul. And I had to look very, very deeply at these questions of support or lack of support, a lack of not feeling like I fit in the world, feeling like no one has my back, the shame, the betrayal. But of course, part of my process then, if I'm being true to my desire to be in my heart and look at this from a higher perspective, was to say, when have I not supported others or myself? When have I betrayed others or myself? When have I not had my own back or had someone else's back? So it really became, you know, a deep process of inquiry. And while it was very, very painful, I also was blessed enough to realize that this was in preparation for me to do my branding work.
Wow.
To look at all of this as deeply as I did, and to go through, you know, the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, you know, all of that, looking at it, so that I could clear it in myself. And this is some of the prison, you know, work that I'm talking about now, where we have these patterns and programs and beliefs that are held so deeply, and that really, in order to be free, this is the work, the spiritual archaeology, right, the emotional archaeology, whatever you want to call it. So that was my experience this past summer, but that wasn't even what I was going to tell you about initially. Years ago, I had had a series of experiences that caused me to go see a friend for a healing. And in the healing, I felt something touch my heart. And she said to me, she's very visionary, she said, Yeshua just placed the key over your heart. And as soon as she said that, I saw myself in a prison underground, and I had seen this vision many, many, many times, in a cell, chained, you know, tortured, beaten. But all of a sudden, I was looking down the hallway with cells on either side, and all of these doors started opening, and thousands of women poured out from these cells.
Wow.
Thousands of women.
Wow.
And down this hallway and up this these steps that were sort of built into the landscape, into this hill, and then out onto this grassy field where the sun was shining, and there was a sense of freedom. And immediately after, all of the women were, you know, left their cells, were released from their cells. I don't know how I knew this, but it was aspects of myself were then coming out of all of these cells.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness!
And
that
moving
makes
down
me
the
tear
hallway.
Up.
Yes, oh. It was, and so yeah, it sounds kind of funny to say a prison release expert, and it, you know, at networking meetings, it gets, you know, kind of a lot of attention. But there's a very deep place inside of me where I know that this work is about releasing women from lifetime and lifetime and lifetime and generation and cultural, you know, so many ways in which we're imprisoned, whether we've lived that in a past life or whether we've just lived it through our collective experience of being women, that has a very sacred, reverent place for me as well.
Wow. I'm so glad that we covered this. This is huge. This is really huge.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love
know.
How spirit works, because I wasn't going, or that wasn't necessarily on. But it was like, oh yes, the prison thing. There is that other side of this that's so deeply profound and moving.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Incredible. Well, I know there are so many of us that have been through those periods where we didn't feel supported, And even though there's so much light coming in and so much new energy, there's still some struggle with that, isn't there? It's kind of like, what do we do with this? How do we use it to best support ourselves? And how can we incorporate what's going on, you know, in order to support ourselves and feel supported by all of it? And sometimes the best way is to just kind of dig in and do that work that needs to be done to
yes.
release the past and allow us to break free. And
yes,
I know
because
that's
exactly why the energy is coming in now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is to allow us,
yeah.
I don't want to say force us, but allow us to do that deeper work. You know, I say to my clients, you have to pump the you-know-what out of the septic tank
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
before you can fill it up with something
right.
else, you know?
Exactly.
So the fact
exactly.
that there is so much light and that we are in the middle of this really powerful ascension process, and it does seem to just becoming more and more intense, if we can hold that awareness that there is a gift in it, that it's happening in a way to allow us to really release these deep things. Like I said, turning it around and doing that work and saying, okay, I am feeling betrayed and unsupported and sort of abandoned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is my spiritual work? Because everything outside of me is simply a mirror. It is a reflection
yes.
back to me of something within myself that remains unhealed.
Yes.
So it's shining the light on the work that is mine to do
mm-hmm.
so that I can
exactly.
bring in more of that light and step more fully into, it sounds so cliche, but who I'm here to be, right, you know?
Well, it is what we're all here for. We are here to be that bright light that we are, and we just need some help sometimes in
mm-hmm.
in accessing it or help in how do I shine my light,
yeah.
you know?
And that's just, why shows like yours are so great, because we get to talk about that in community.
Yeah.
And not
yes.
feel isolated and alone and what's wrong with me and how come everybody else looks like they're doing so great and here I am curled up in a ball on my couch, you know, barely
right.
able to, you know, do whatever,
right.
you know, because
yeah.
some days, honestly, it feels that way. And the more sensitive you are to the energy, you know, the more it can feel that way. And it can be very isolating. You can feel very lonely and very much afraid sometimes when you're in physical
yes.
pain or the work isn't there. And I think
yes.
that it's so important to speak truth about this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not
mm-hmm.
always. I've been taking a class these last 5 weeks, and we had a handout last Sunday on an article called Spiritual Bypass.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not a new terminology, but it showed up at the perfect time for me. And basically, it's this idea that we use spiritual practice and spiritual language as a way of, I want to say, almost numbing ourselves. You know, it's not as bad as perhaps using alcohol or something else or sex or shopping or whatever. But sometimes we numb ourselves out with the spiritual platitudes. Oh, it's all good. It's in divine order. You know, no fear, no, you know, whatever. Just be in love,
oh,
not
so
fear.
Glad
but the
you
truth
brought that
is,
out.
In this life, there's a lot of times when things just hurt or suck
mm-hmm.
or we're going through loss or grief. And to just sort of gloss over that with some spiritual colloquialism has always been something that I'm challenged with. And so I really appreciated reading this article this week because we cannot avoid doing the deep work. Well, I guess we can avoid doing the deep work.
We do for a long time.
Well, yeah.
Until it hits us in the
really
face and we can't avoid it.
Well, and sometimes that has to happen, right? And who wants that? Who wants to, you know, my friend, you know, broke her leg in two places and, you know, or someone else has cancer or whatever. We don't want it to come to that. So,
yeah.
You know, sometimes we have to not jump so quickly or read about, oh, what did this person say about that? That doesn't take the place of doing the work ourselves.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge reader, you know, everything, whatever. I've read them all, done them all. It was even in my write-up. But it does not, it's not a substitute for going deeply into, you know, what I was referring to before, sort of as that spiritual alchemy.
Right.
Spiritual archaeology, you know.
Oh,
creating that sacred space.
This is so important. You know, there really is such a need for people to give themselves a little bit of a reality break. And yes, we do tend to really try and sort of, I know I'm guilty. I mean, I want to just sort of make it all be okay and just bless it and hope, you know.
Yeah,
okay.
Rainbows and unicorns and,
and sometimes that works.
It's lovely.
Sometimes it works.
And
a lot of times it doesn't.
I am all for positivity and, like, looking for the higher perspective and finding, you know, the gift in the pile of doo-doo and all of that stuff. We got to say, wow, this doo-doo just really stinks.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It really does.
Or this loss or this betrayal.
Right. Very true.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just a lesson. So I had the experience last week of developing pink eye. And this is just it's a very quick example of how physically, you know, we can manifest something and just look at it, oh, I got pink eye. I wonder how that happened. I wonder if I caught it from my grandson. He had a runny nose, you know, all of that stuff. But I developed it within about 24 hours of starting to talk to a new, because I'm in the dating world, right? So I started to have a conversation with this one. Stella, seeing,
oh gosh!
But yeah, I know that. That's a whole nother interview. We won't even go there. But it was like, wow, this really looks like a, you know, everything on the surface seemed to be exactly what I have been, you know, intending for, wanting to manifest, raising my vibration, blah blah blah. Kicked a lot of frogs along the way, you know, thinking, well, maybe this is, you know, the prince. But I couldn't deny that there was something uncomfortable. There was something going on in my gut. Mm-hmm. And I was asking questions. And anyway, to make a long story short, I won't go into all the details, but the first night I had a dream and he showed up very dark. And I thought, he's not African-American. Why does he look like that?
Uh-huh.
And then I realized that was not about, you know, race at all.
Uh-huh.
Then I developed pink eye. Then
wow.
Someone connected with me to tell me that they asked me if they could bring me a message from my grandmother who had come through to her, who said, don't go here. You deserve better. This is not in your highest good. And so there were these messages showing up. So just like I did with the betrayal and the shame and the lack of support, I said, okay, I have pink eye. Something is clouding my vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I sat in meditation and journaling, and I said, what is it that I'm not seeing clearly?
Yeah.
What is clouding my perception here?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this showing up now?
Wow.
And over the period of course of days, the answer that I was given was that I'm taking a mediumship class right now because I really, really have been for years now working on developing my own intuition and really trusting that and not turning down the dial on it and not minimizing it like so many women do because of past, you know, other life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Spirit basically said to me in a nutshell, we offered you an opportunity to choose either in favor of your intuition, to follow your intuition and your inner guidance and your inner knowing, or to choose in favor of the outer appearances. Because you have been asking for more connection with your higher guidance. So we gave you this opportunity in an area that's very important to you. You want to invite, you know, your partner in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no judgment in whichever choice you would have made. There are simply the consequences of that choice.
Wow. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, it is.
And it made perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Perfect sense to me. And I said, thank you for the opportunity, for the gift of King Guy, really.
Yeah.
Because I had to go inward. All my I wanted to do was close.
Yeah.
And the other one, I was half squinting, you know. And I couldn't see clients, you know. And so I had a whole week to really think into this.
Wow.
And
that's
allow
amazing.
My inner world and my inner life to give me some information. And the good news is, you know, it was only a week. It wasn't
right. That's
year,
real quick in the
years.
Scheme of things. Yeah,
yes.
That's pretty darn
exactly.
quick
exactly.
in you know, from the big picture view.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
because
in the past,
it might have taken a year and a half, you know.
Right. Or 10 years or who knows how long. Yeah. Well, I want to let those of you who are listening know that Catherine is going to be doing some work with us as a group, and also she's going to be doing some individual work. If those of you who are listening by phone would like to have some individual work with Catherine, if you just hit *2 to raise your hand and let us know that you'd like to work with Catherine. And if you're listening on the webcast, and you're not able to join us by phone, but you have an issue that you want some help with or something that you'd like for us to work on for you, go ahead and pop that information into the Q&A, and we will do that as well. And we're going to try to get as many as possible during the time we're together. And we've got quite a bit of time left, so we should be able
to
get some really good work done.
Yeah.
I know, Catherine, that you do a lot of different modalities, and you've been doing this beautiful energetic work for a long time. Do you have kind of some go-to methods that you tend to start with as a rule?
Absolutely. I mean, my go-to method for probably the last 10 years has been EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. I see you're having Brad on in a couple of weeks, who is an awesome EFT practitioner.
I know.
but yes, just a little bit for, you know, folks who don't know. So I have a background as a psychotherapist. I've been a social worker for 35 years. My work for about the first 15 was in very grassroots social work. Rape crisis counseling, sexual assault, domestic violence, child abuse, social and economic justice. So very hands-on, in the trenches, grassroots social work. I never thought that I would be doing psychotherapy, but, you know, we make plans and God
Surprise.
Laughs or whatever that thing is. So
yeah.
After a number of years, you know, I was the coordinator of the Child Protective Services, the Sexual Abuse Unit here in Hartford. I mean, I saw some really, you know, sort of the dark side of life. You know, I worked in that for a very long time. And after, I have three children, they're all in their 20s now, and my daughter is the youngest. So after she was born, I was on maternity leave, and I started getting this little voice in my head that said, about going into private practice, into psychotherapy. And I was like, really? I don't think so. But, you know, the short story is that I ended up going to join some folks who I had known from my days at DCF, you know, because I referred a lot of my sexual abuse clients to them and families.
Uh-huh.
And I went to work in that practice. And, of course, as a result, because I had done that kind of work for so long, many of the clients who came to me had history of, you know, pretty significant trauma or family dysfunction, And I very quickly discovered that talk therapy, as I was doing, now granted, I was not that skilled probably at that point, but mm-hmm. it was just not feeling like I wanted it to feel, for, either for me as the practitioner or in terms of the results I was hoping for clients. I didn't really feel right. like people were really getting the kind of help and relief that they wanted. And that, again, was sort of spirit's way of getting me on a path, because it started me, and this is almost 25 years ago now, on sort of my own more spiritual journey, right? I got more serious about my meditation, my yoga, my journaling. I became, you know, trained in 6 or 7 or 8 different kinds of energy healing modalities, DNA activations, theta healing, you know, Reiki Master, mm-hmm. went that whole route, and also became a minister of spiritual peacemaking with James Twineman. And so through all of that, I was always looking for modalities, you know, to work with my clients more, more deeply. And in 2006, I had the pleasure of working with Dr. Henry Grayson and learning emotional freedom technique. And that was like, it was like the heavens opened.
Yeah.
It was like found the perfect balance between talk therapy and energy work, because mm-hmm. just doing energy work in a therapy setting is not always appropriate. It's not what people are expecting or looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But EFT provided that bridge for me. And as I continued to go on, you know, I became trained then also in a lot of different coaching and, you know, law of attraction work and passion tests and purpose coaching and certified dream coach. And I started to recognize with the law of attraction that a lot of people, including myself, were frustrated. They were doing all the right things, right? They were setting their intentions.
Yeah.
They were doing their vision boards. They were saying their affirmations, all of that. And they were not experiencing the results that they wanted consistently.
Right.
And what I began to recognize then was that the piece where it was really getting backed up, it seemed to me, you know, it's the ask, receive, believe, or, right, or in the allowance piece, because the vibration that they were holding in their energy body was denser or lower or not a match for that which they were trying to attract.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Right? So if you think about Abraham Hicks and that scale of emotion, and up at the top, or emotional guidance scale, you know, there's joy and love and appreciation and gratitude and freedom up at the top, and down at the bottom there's despair and hopelessness and shame and right, much heavier energies. So depending on the preponderance of your life experience, how you internalized and you know, in your child mind, if you will, interpreted that, you may be carrying a preponderance of those heavier, denser energies. And that becomes sort of what I call your personal energy signature.
Okay.
And when you're trying to attract something into your life, if there's too much of a discrepancy or a disparity between what it is that you're trying to attract and where your sort of personal energy signature is, it's going to make it very difficult to bring that in a consistent way.
That makes so much sense.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
And so that sort of has become the emphasis of my work and where I really focus with people, which is on their energy body and whatever their experience has been in this life or past lives. And I don't know, like some of your guests, I don't really see those kinds of things. I just sort of intuit and pick up
mm-hmm.
from what people are telling me. And so it's all about releasing the heavier, denser energies so that your vibration can begin to move up on that emotional scale. And then as you do, you are then more able to attract more of what you want and less of what you don't want.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It sure does.
Yeah.
Really, really helpful. Mm.
And I have found tapping emotional freedom technique by far, hands down, no question, to be the most powerful, effective, and simple way of doing that work.
Okay. Awesome. Wow. Well, I would love, and I know that everyone listening would love it too, would love for you to take us through some of your work. Do you want to start with doing something for the group as a whole?
Yeah, let's do a simple little exercise that perhaps people have even done before, but, you know, I have found in my own journey that I can do the same thing over and over and over again
mm-hmm.
and still take tremendous benefit from it and learning from it, because we're always, you know, you can't stick your toe in the same river twice or whatever that
mm-hmm.
saying is, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're always in a
right.
different place, or the energy around us is always different. And
yeah.
so what am I going to do? We're going to do a short exercise around limiting beliefs.
Okay, I'm just going to let you take charge now. So you just
okay.
do it and let me know when you're done. I'm going to step
Alrighty.
Aside.
Okay, girl.
Thanks.
So this is a simple little exercise. So before we go into the exercise, let's just take a moment, because I know the energy has been pretty high and I've been saying a lot and a lot of information and a lot of energy has been floating around. So let's just take a moment. And if you're in a place where you can, just go ahead and allow your eyes to gently float closed. And if you can place your feet on the floor, go ahead and do that. Just taking a moment now to connect with your breath. Within whatever space you find yourself in this particular moment, allowing that to be your most sacred space, your holy ground in this very moment. Connecting with your breath, just noticing the inhalation and the exhalation. Letting go any idea that you need to change anything. Just being with your breath, however you find it. And if your mind is busy, if there are thoughts floating through your awareness, just imagine them now to be like leaves on a stream. Beautiful, perhaps fall-colored leaves, floating by gently, moving into your awareness, and then out of your awareness, perhaps moving around a bend. Each of your thoughts, like a leaf on that stream, simply observing as it comes in and as it goes out. And if your ego mind is inviting you to grasp onto something, a particular thought, just acknowledge that. Thank you very much. I appreciate your concern. And I can let that go now and return to it later if I want to. Bringing your awareness again to the breath. And in this place, quieter, calmer, perhaps more relaxed. I'll invite you to simply ask yourself a question. in my heart of hearts, in my place of deepest desire, that secret place of the Most High. What is it that I want to be or do or have? Simply allowing your soul's desire, releasing any judgment, to begin to percolate up now. Allowing a vision, a multi-sensory vision, if you will, bringing in all of your senses to just begin to organize itself in your mind or out in front of you. If your deepest desire could manifest into your life, what would you be or do or have? Allowing an image to develop in your mind's eye. Allowing all of your senses now to bring you more information about that. What would it smell like? What would it sound like? Would there be other people in this vision with you? What would the setting be? What would the environment be? How would it feel in your heart to be in this image, imagining yourself now in this image, the being, the doing, the having of your deepest desire, allowing all of that to organize itself into a beautiful representation. Noticing how that feels in your body, noticing any emotions that accompany this beautiful image, idea, vision. And just holding that all together for a few moments. The image, the smell, the sound, the feel, both the emotional feel, and if there's any kinesthetic feel, what can you feel around you? Are you touching anything? Holding that all for another moment or two. And then completing this phrase with the first thing that comes into your mind. I can't be, do, or have that because. Again, no editing, no judgment. Simply noticing, simply observing what bubbles up from your unconscious, from the depths of your subconscious mind. I can't be, do, or have that because. And then noticing how that feels. Noticing whether there are any other thoughts, emotions, connected to that original thought. And taking another breath or two. And then when you're ready, just bringing yourself back into the physical space that you're in, noticing your feet on the floor. Once again, connecting with your breath. Perhaps feeling your back against the chair that you're sitting in. Bringing some small movement into your fingers and toes. Allowing your eyes to float open on the wave of the breath. And then perhaps stretching or yawning to bring yourself all the way back. And so what we just experienced is a way to become aware of perhaps your most limiting belief. And generally, you know, there are many layers to this. But the first thing that comes to mind is probably something that is holding you back, that is keeping you a prisoner, right? It's some belief, some fear, some energetic imprisonment, if you will, that doesn't allow you to step into your life in the way that you would most like to be able to step in. I'll just share, and then I'll actually ask some of you to share what you discovered as we did this little exercise. But I did this a number of years ago, not for the first time. I had done it many times before. And so, you know, I went through the visualization, and it was my usual, you know, sort of being on stage in front of lots of people and really just sharing and teaching and being in that place that I love to be in, of allowing spirit to move through and bring forth whatever is of most service to the people that I'm sharing with. And then they said, and, you know, so I can't be, do, or have that because, and the first thought that popped into my mind was, I can't play with the big boys. Now, that was a little unusual. It was not what I was expecting. And on one level, it's understandable. You know, this was a number of years ago when a lot of the spiritual teachers were still more, you know, male. But for me, it was particularly interesting because I have 6 brothers and 5 of them are older than me. And so you can imagine how many times in my life I probably heard, Kathy, you can't do what the boys are doing. No, you can't go with them. No, little girls don't do that, right? How many times do you think in my formative years I might have heard that kind of language, not because my parents were mean or abusive or anything else or were trying to limit me or hold me back, but simply as a function of age and gender. And so deep within inside me, as I peeled away the layers of I'm not good enough or I'm not deserving or I don't know enough, right, the more obvious ones that are sort of at the top, I touched this very old, very deep message that I can't play with the big boys. And so what did that mean for me as a spiritual teacher?
How did you resolve that?
Well, I went to my go-to modality. I did a lot of tapping around it, right? Uh-huh. Even though I have this belief, even though on a conscious level, I don't believe it. Somehow, I think it's still at work within me.
Yeah.
It's coming up to be healed and cleared so that whatever residual energy might have been anchoring me, tethering me, keeping me imprisoned around that could be healed. And you know, those bars broken or those little almost invisible, you know, tether line, you know, cords, energetic cords dissolved or clipped or something so that I would no longer be held back by that belief system and all that it carried with it.
Yay. Hooray.
Yay.
Oh goodness, I'm just, wow, this is so important, and I'm so glad we have all of these people here with us today listening. I know everybody's benefiting, and I certainly am. If you are interested in having Catherine work with you individually, please go ahead and hit *2 to raise your hand and let us know. If you have, if you're not able to be on the phone and you have some questions, then just pop them into the Q&A. And before we start working with individuals, I want to just take a moment to just direct everyone's attention to Catherine's special offer. If you're on the webcast, you can just click into the button right there on your screen. It says Catherine's special offer. If you're listening by phone, I want to take just a moment to go over it because this is a beautiful package, and this is the sort of thing that I know is of so much value and benefit to Emboldened Heart listeners. Catherine's special offer, and she's kind of put together a package of three different options for you. The first one is her Heal Your Feminine Wound, Birth Your Feminine Power audio program, which is set up as a 21-day program to awaken to your true self. And this includes 8 videos, each one describing one of her personal favorite spiritual practices with handouts to accompany the videos. Also, 4 hour-long recorded teaching and Q&A calls, as well as some short daily assignments to help you deepen and reinforce the practices. And I love this. And I love the fact that you do 22 days. And will you tell us why? Why 22, Catherine?
No, that was another one of those. So I know for myself, I have joined a bazillion programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably only completed half a bazillion of them because I just, you know, I get halfway through and I lose interest. There's something else. My life changes and I run out of time or whatever. And even if I'm very well intentioned, I don't always complete the program. So I was literally walking in the woods one day when I generally have, you know, some of my more interesting bits of information come to me. And I had decided to do this program. And I was thinking, well, how many days? You know, we hear 30, we hear 60, we hear 90. And I got a very clear message from Spirit, 22. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I've never really heard. I mean, I know 22 is a powerful number, but I had never heard that for, you know, a program. But then I came home and I just sat with it for a little bit, and I looked up 22 again. And it's just such a powerful number. It's a master number of manifestation. And
oh, cool.
I said, well, what the heck? You know, it's fairly quick. When I did it as an online group program, you know, the videos went out, the lessons went out every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, we had a call once a week. So
mm-hmm.
it was quite compressed.
But it was just
a message from Spirit, do it in 22 days. And so I set it up that way. And you know, I love the number 22, and I think I started it on the 22nd of the month or something, just to keep it, you know, in keeping with the 22 idea.
Nice.
And
nice. Good. So that is package A. If you would like to take advantage of that beautiful healing audio program, which is designed to be worked with over a 22-day period, that is all of the things that we talked about, the videos, the recorded calls, the supporting documents, that is all just $97, which is, I'm sure, an incredible value. But there's more. Catherine has also very generously put together Package B, which is an individual 45-minute private session with her. And this can be via phone or Skype, or I guess if you live close by, Catherine, it could be in person. Could it, Catherine?
Yeah, you can come to my
okay.
office.
That'd be nice,
Zoom,
too, if it's
Zoom,
possible.
Yeah.
And that is just $47, which, wow, I just can't. I mean, I'm scratching my head on that one because that is a very, very high-value opportunity to work with Catherine individually. But it gets even better because Catherine has put together a third package, that's Package C, which includes the audio program Heal Your Feminine Wound, Birth Your Feminine Power, plus an individual 45-minute private session with her for just $127 for both of those, which is huge. So do take advantage of this. Catherine's work is absolutely wonderful, powerful, and she's been walking her talk for a long time, and she's helped a lot of people break out of prison. So let her help you do just that. I think it's some beautiful, beautiful work that you're doing, Catherine. Thanks for putting these special offer packages together for Emboldened Heart listeners.
My pleasure.
Oh, goodness. Well, we've got a little bit of time left, and we want to work with some individuals, so we're going to do that right now.
Yeah,
and I've got a couple people with their hands up, so I'm just going to unmute the first one, and this person's calling from Portland, Oregon. Hi there.
Hello. It's Claire in Portland. Hi, Melinda.
Hi,
Catherine.
Claire.
Hello.
Hi, Claire.
Hello. I have a question that I'm just wondering. It's kind of a general question, but if
yep.
you have, let me see, how should I word this? If you've been told that there are certain issues in your childhood that are affecting you, and yet you don't really feel resonant with that, can you address that? In other words, you know, people, well, of course you know this. Yeah. I mean, so hello, can you address that? Thank you.
So let me see if I understand. There are people who are offering you information about
yes.
things that allegedly happened in your childhood.
Well, no, things that did happen in my childhood.
Okay, so you know that they happened.
Yes.
Okay. And they're not, you said they're not resonating with you?
Right, I don't feel resonant with the fact that these things heavily affected me. You know, I don't really feel a charge to it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering if you can address that. I mean, I don't really – should I not feel a charge if they're really relevant?
Well, so I'm curious. Why are people sort of even engaging in this conversation with you if you're not, you know, symptomatic in some way or having – difficulties, or is it just sort of they're sharing this with you?
Well, no, I think that there are certain things that are manifesting, you know, I mean, like, you know, financial stuff and, you know, the usual sort of energetic things that go on. And so I've been looking to try to figure out why that is going on. I've been searching. And,
mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is, basically, I was adopted as an infant.
Uh-huh.
And I spent a month in a foster home between the time I was born and the time that I was taken to my folks' house.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to think that that's like this big thing that is causing some of these energetic patterns and issues that are happening in my life and have been happening for, I mean, I'm going to be 56 in July, so
uh-huh.
you know, the majority of my life. But I don't really feel... I never previously felt that it was really a big issue for me, and I don't really feel like it's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting that this is the issue, Claire, because just before this call, I was on with a client of mine who was also released for adoption at birth and spent 6 months in, quote, an orphanage. And I've worked with... Now, I can't say this is true for every person, obviously, who has been released for adoption by their biological mom.
Uh-huh.
But I have had the experience with many clients where there's a place within them where they almost, and this has also happened if someone has found out that their mother had at one time considered terminating the pregnancy but didn't.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Where there's almost an energy of, I don't really belong here. It's not okay for me to take up space. And they're not always consciously aware of that. But as we started to tap on even what might be the financial, like we would start where you were at, right?
Yep.
Tapping on the financial piece. And my experience is that as I'm tapping with someone, we often tap into these deeper and deeper layers.
Okay.
So this morning, working with this client, we were tapping on the fact that her now ex-husband betrayed her and quote, abandoned her for someone he knew before they were ever born. Then we tapped into her biological twin brother, who was also given up for adoption, and they had a bond that they would sort of always be there for each other. Well, he died a number of years ago. And her biological mother recently passed away. And so all of this energy of betrayal, abandonment, people not keeping their promises to me, not feeling lovable, like they all are wrapped up in, and she would, on her own, she might not have made all of those connections to all of these similar patterns of energy that are running through her life. And now really manifesting around the ex-husband and this woman who he's now engaged to, who he was engaged to before he ever married my client. So
lovely.
And the place in her that has operated for so long from this energy of wanting to belong, wanting to feel loved, wanting to feel like she has a place in the world, wanting to feel like the world is a safe place, right? That is there energetically when, I think, when we're released for adoption, because the electrical system, the energy system of an infant, right, is registering somehow that the nurturing, the safety, the loving, the caring is their system is not being fed with that kind of energy.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and actually, many of the things that you've just said are very relevant. So that makes perfect sense. It's just that I obviously have buried it somewhere very deep, so that it doesn't feel like it, you know, like it's an issue.
Yeah. Well, my guess is you were adopted into, you know, a good family. And in some ways, it's, you know, maybe I was better off. I was raised, you know, which was true for my client. And so, you know, there's not really a reason, unless your life is kind of falling apart, to look more deeply, you know, to rehash all of that. Well, it's sort of old history. And what would that have to do with this? So, you know, I wouldn't go into a place of, oh, I should have looked there, but I didn't. Like, there's no blame here. It's just, oh, well, here's a new way of perhaps understanding why some of these particular experiences might have played out in the way that they did, or why I might react to different triggers in my life.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question.
Thanks, Claire. Okay, we've got one more, and I'm going to go ahead and unmute someone from Beverly Hills. Hello.
Hi. Hello, Melinda. How are you?
Good.
Okay.
Who are we speaking with?
You're speaking with Joy. I don't know.
Joy.
Yeah, I don't know what question to ask today. What question can I ask you? What question is good to ask? Any question,
well,
is that okay?
Well,
what's going on?
Okay, relationship issues. I would like that addressed because it seems like I try to be at peace and I try to give a lot in a relationship, but it seems as if no matter what, something just comes and stirs it up unexpectedly or unexpectedly, but unintentionally, because I try to be loving and just overgive, because I'm not really confident that I can hold that space for a good relationship, so I tend to go overboard. I was able to do that years ago without trying, but something about this, I don't know, I think it might be an entity, I don't know. So I'd like you to look into that for me.
Mm. So Joy, can I ask you a few clarifying questions?
Yes.
So clearly I'm picking up an energy of you sort of over-caring, over-giving it as a way of compensating for a lack of self-confidence in relationship and not really believing that you can have the kind of relationship that you want or deserve. Is that accurate?
I feel that it's because I think I'm going to lose. And so I tend to overdo it at all, you know, mostly because I put it in my mind that because of this new pattern that has been developed, that I am going to sure lose. Surely I'm going to not be able to maintain it. So I would like to get that. I would like to know what it is that came about in recent times that is causing me to not be able to maintain it. And I don't want to look forward to it just disappearing or dissolving. I just want to be confident that I can hold it together. And I know it's not just me. I think something tertiary is going on. Something is interfering. I would like to know what it is that's interfering.
Mm. Well, so first of all, I want to say that is not my area of expertise. I don't see, you know, whether there are entities or attachments. So I'm afraid that I can't address your concerns from that perspective. I would more likely be interested in knowing whether there was something that happened in your life that caused you to feel a lack of confidence or that you can't be in relationship in this way. Have you had an experience of loss or trauma that might have triggered that? Okay. Are you comfortable sharing that a little bit? Because I would love to do some EFT with you around this if that's something that you'd be interested in. Okay.
Yes. When I was young, my mom had to my mom went away for a while. She migrated to work. And so she left me when I was about 10 years old. And I think I probably had an issue about that abandonment or something like that. I felt I was not really prepared for it. I was well loved and taken care of, and I was the last girl. And so being cuddled and made a fuss over and taken care of in that way, and to have that disappear in such a short time probably gave me this lack of confidence in what, you know, would be lasting for me.
Yeah.
So that probably is it.
And who then were you left with? Who was your caretaker in your mom's
life? My father and nannies. And they did their best. They sensed that there was this disappointment and this loss. So that's it. Yeah.
Can you remember, and I know we're going back like 45 years, right? 45 or 46 years. Can you remember how you explained that to yourself, your mother's sudden disappearance? Not from your adult understanding now, but as that 10-year-old girl, the youngest girl who had felt well-loved, right, and cared for and nurtured, all of a sudden your mom is gone. How did you explain that, or what was your understanding of that?
I felt that there was a need for her to have left, and that she probably wouldn't have done it, but I felt that there might have been a way around it, or she should have taken me with her.
Mm-hmm.
Or she should have come back sooner, because we were expecting her to come back for it to have been a short stay, and that she would have returned sooner than later. And so that long drawn out suspense was probably the incurable at that point.
Mm-hmm. How long was your mom gone?
About 7 years before I saw her.
So you had no contact with her?
Yes, we had phone calls and letters. Phone calls and letters. A lot of phone calls, a lot of letters, a lot of, you know, love from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
But that sometimes when there is a need for that closeness and that understanding and that bonding, there was this space. So.
Yeah. Okay. So let us go ahead. And are you familiar at all with EFT, with tapping?
A little, not a lot.
A little bit. Okay. So you have some idea that there's a flow. We're going to start by tapping on the side of the hand. It doesn't matter which hand you use, but you tap on what's called a karate chop spot, the sort of fleshy side of the palm of your hand. Where if you were doing karate, that's the part where you would use to hit the board. That's where we're gonna start tapping. And as we tap there, I'm gonna create some setup phrases, three different setup phrases as we're tapping. And I'm just gonna have you repeat those after me. And then once we are finished with the setup phrases, we'll start moving through the different tapping points, and I'll just tell you quickly what they are so I can refresh your memory if you've seen them before. It's the top of the head, and then the inside of the eyebrow by the bridge of your nose,
right
next to the side of your eye,
right
underneath your eye, right on the bone, just underneath. This is all around the eye socket now, around the eye, and then under your nose, under your lip, just outside your collarbone, and under your arm. And I will direct you through that as we're tapping, but just so you have some idea of where the flow is here.
Yes.
Okay. So we're just going to go ahead, and I'm going to invite you, and I'm literally making this up as we go along. So just follow along with me. Okay. Even though, just repeat right after me, even though.
Even though.
I have this belief.
I have this belief.
That I won't be able to maintain a loving relationship.
That I won't be able to maintain a loving relationship. I deeply and completely.
Accept myself.
Accept myself.
And all of my feelings.
And all of my feelings.
Even though I try so hard.
Even though I try so hard.
When I'm in a relationship.
When I'm in a relationship.
To be at peace.
To be at peace.
And I give so much.
And I give so much.
Maybe I overgive.
Maybe I overdo.
Something always comes up.
Something always comes up.
This fear that I'm going to lose. The person.
The fear that I'm going to lose a person.
A lack of confidence.
A lack of confidence.
That I can hold that relationship.
That I can hold the relationship.
This energy of fear.
This energy of fear.
Around relationships.
Around relationships.
And I deeply and completely.
And I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
And all of my feelings.
And all of my feelings.
Even though I carry this energy.
Even though I carry this energy.
Of abandonment.
Of abandonment.
Probably since I was a little girl.
Probably since I was a little girl.
When my mother went away.
When my mother went away.
For 7 long years.
For 7 long years.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
I was well loved.
I was well loved.
And happy.
And happy.
And then my mother left.
And then my mother left.
And she didn't take me with her.
And she didn't take me with her.
And she didn't come back for a very long time.
And she didn't come back for a very long time.
And all of that closeness.
And all of that closeness.
That I felt when she was around.
That I felt when she was around.
Was gone.
Was gone.
I lost the most important relationship.
I lost the most important relationship.
In my life.
In my life.
And there's a part of me.
And there's a part of me.
That's deeply afraid.
That's deeply afraid.
That that will happen again.
That that will happen again.
And I deeply and completely.
And I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
And the young girl.
And the young girl.
Who was so confused.
Who was so confused.
And lonely.
And lonely.
And felt abandoned.
And felt abandoned.
And I love and accept her.
And I love and accept her.
And all aspects of myself.
And all aspects of myself.
Okay. Come right up to the top of your head, and we're just going to move through these different points quickly. This relationship issue.
Okay.
This relationship issue.
This relationship issue.
Come to your eyebrow now. Something
okay.
always comes up.
Something always comes up.
No matter how much I give.
No matter how much I give.
And on the side of your eye. No matter how much I do.
No matter how much I do.
No matter how much I try to be at peace.
No matter how much I try to be at peace.
Under your eye, something always comes up.
Something always comes up.
I always feel.
I always feel.
Like I'm about to lose something.
Like I'm about to lose something.
Under your nose. I always feel.
I always feel.
Like I'm about to lose someone.
Like I'm about to lose someone.
Under your lip. I don't feel confident.
I don't feel confident.
That the relationship will last.
That the relationship will last.
On the collarbone, so no matter how much I give.
No matter how much I give.
No matter how much I do.
No matter how much I do.
I still have this fear.
I still have this fear.
Around relationships.
Around relationships.
Under your arm. This fear.
This fear.
That the person will leave me.
That the person will leave me.
On the top of your head, this fear.
This fear.
That I will be abandoned.
That I will be abandoned.
On your eyebrow, this fear.
This fear.
That no matter how much someone might love me.
That no matter how much someone might love me.
That they could just disappear from my life.
That they could just disappear from my life.
On the side of your eye, and I will be alone.
And I will be alone.
And confused.
And confused.
And abandoned.
And abandoned.
Once again.
Once again.
Under your eye, just like the little girl.
Just like the little girl.
Whose mother left.
Whose mother left.
Under your nose, without much explanation.
Without much explanation.
She was just gone.
She was just gone.
Under your lip, and I told myself.
And I told myself.
That she had to leave to work.
That she had to leave to work.
And although that was true.
And although that was true,
it didn't make up.
It didn't make up.
For my deep sadness.
For my deep sadness.
And loss.
And loss.
And confusion.
And confusion.
And feelings of abandonment.
And feeling of abandonment.
And on the collarbone, she didn't take me with her.
She didn't take me with her.
And she didn't come back soon.
And she didn't come back too.
She was gone for 7 years.
She was gone for 7 years.
Under your arm. And although there were phone calls.
And although there were phone calls.
And letters.
And letters.
And loving words.
And loving words.
The closeness that
the
I
closeness
had loved.
That I had loved.
Was not there.
Was not there.
On the top of your head, my father and the nanny.
My father and the nannies.
Did the best they could.
Did the best they could.
On the eyebrow, but they couldn't fill that space in me.
But they couldn't fill that space in me.
That missed my mother.
That missed my mother.
On the side of your eye. There were so many mixed emotions.
There were so many mixed emotions.
Sadness.
Sadness.
Loss.
Loss.
Abandonment.
Abandonment.
Maybe even anger or rage.
Maybe even anger or rage.
At the fact that she left.
At the fact that she left.
And stayed away for so long.
And stayed away for so long.
And even though I knew.
And even though I knew.
That she was going for work.
That she was going for work.
There may have been some part of me.
There may have been some part of me.
That wondered.
That wondered.
Under the lip, if it was my fault.
That if it were my fault.
If I wasn't lovable enough.
If I wasn't lovable enough.
Or good enough.
Or good enough.
Or something enough.
Or something enough.
Because my mother left.
Because my mother left.
On the collarbone, and so that pattern.
And so that pattern.
Has stayed alive inside of me.
Has stayed alive inside of me.
That fear of relationship.
That fear of relationship.
The fear that I might be left or abandoned again.
The fear that I might be left or abandoned again.
And it causes me to overgive.
And it causes me to overgive.
And overdo.
And overdo.
And overcare.
And overcare.
So under your arm now. So I'm going to just give as much love.
So I'm just going to give as much love.
As much understanding.
As much understanding.
As much acceptance.
As much acceptance.
As I can.
As I can.
To that little girl.
To that little girl.
Who is calling out for healing.
Who is calling out for healing.
To know that she's lovable.
To know that she's lovable.
That she's deserving.
And she's deserving.
And she's good enough.
And she's good enough.
Exactly the way she is.
Exactly the way she is.
And that her mother's choice.
And that her mother's choice.
Had nothing to do.
Has nothing to do.
With her own beauty.
With her own beauty.
And how lovable she is.
And how lovable she is.
And just bring your hand back to your karate chop spot now.
Okay.
Tap there for another couple of moments. And then just allow that energy to settle. Taking a moment just to notice whether anything has shifted either in your physical body, in your emotions, any new thoughts that may have come up. or not. It's fine if they haven't. We've just shifted the energy a little bit. But if there's anything, Joy, that you would like to share,
yes,
feel free. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, dear Catherine and dear Melinda. A lot of tears, just a lot of emotions came up. I just went really, really far back, and I felt what that little girl was feeling.
Mm.
And you really went into that space for me, because you were speaking as if you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, what a work.
Yeah.
I must say, you were really intense, really, really intense.
Mm.
And I appreciate it. I just, for a moment, I didn't understand, but I could feel what was going on. And I probably had not addressed it. I just went back to that space just now as you directed me, and felt it, really.
Beautiful. So just know now, Joy, that now as a 56-year-old woman, when these fears about abandonment or not being good enough, or here I am again, overdoing, overtrying, overattaching, right?
Yeah.
Just understand that that's still that younger part of yourself who is still afraid that she's going to be left or abandoned. And you can just go right in and address her and love her and tell her she's fine, and she doesn't have to try so hard. Like all of the things that we just used in this tapping sequence, you know, feel free to use in whatever way, whether it's journaling, whether it's tapping, whether it's just sitting with that inner child, reminding her that she's lovable and beautiful and deserving and worthy and good enough, and all of those things that she may not feel entirely confident about.
Okay. Wow. I appreciate
bless you,
it.
Joy.
Thank you so much, Melinda.
Sure. Thanks for raising your hand and sharing with us. Bless you. Oh, Catherine, that was great. I have to say that that really hit me right where it counts, too, because I have some of the same stuff.
Yes.
most women do. But,
yes.
Wow, that was beautiful and very powerful and perfect for for today. So that was a great example of how Catherine can help us get out of our prisons. Yay.
And I'm so glad that Joy brought that forward and that we had the opportunity to do some tapping, because hopefully Claire can see how that would also then, be useful for her with what she brought forward. And as you said, Melinda, so many women, you know, are carrying so much of this. And even if it's not our own personal experience, it's in the collective energy of the feminine.
Right. That is
we
so
all
true.
Have these wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do our individual work, we're, you know, in the oneness, it is really lifting the vibration and healing the collective as each one of us does her own work. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
My pleasure. What a treat it was to have you here. Listeners, take advantage of that special offer package to work with Catherine directly, individually, to work with her incredible program, or both. The value is tremendous, and I know you'll be blessed and benefit from it. Thanks, Catherine. Bless you and your beautiful
work.
You're welcome. We're happy to have you here, and I want you to come back. So I'll be in touch with you about that in the near future.
I would love to come back. Yes, absolutely.
Great.
And thank you so much to everyone who's on the call for sharing your beautiful energy and your intentions and blessings, really, to all of you.
Thanks, Catherine. And thanks to each and every one of you that attended, and to anyone who is listening to the replay. Bless you all. Bye-bye for now.
Bye now. all love